instruction in righteousness, as we read in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And it's our blessing and privilege this morning to be called together by God so that together we might encourage each other in the purpose of being, the purpose of life that we've adopted as the sons of God. And that purpose of life involves many things, of course, as many things as we can imagine. And so I thought this morning that we would look at the purpose of glorifying our Father in heaven through the eyes of the Apostle Paul as he described it to his young protege, Timothy. And he said to Timothy in Timothy, the first chapter, verse 18, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck." And then in Timothy, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, a couple pages over, in verses 11, chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you also were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith, he says. The good fight. I like to consider our efforts and our purpose and our wishes and all of the things of our walk of life, our walk with the Lord. I think it's good to consider it in terms of this description, the good fight that God has called us to. A fight it is. A battle. A something that we're involved in, that we have to be involved in, that we have to participate in. Fight the good fight, he said, the good warfare. So really, when we take a look at our walk of life, our walk with God, it's almost as though we are freedom fighters. We're like freedom fighters. And we're fighting for freedom. We're fighting for the good within ourselves. We're fighting for the good within others. We're fighting for the glory of God. We're fighting for the principle of love. God is love. We're fighting for these things. We're dedicating ourselves to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. "Therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. Our good fight is for the glory of God. Romans, the 6th chapter. I'd like to turn and just read this passage that speaks to us. This whole chapter actually speaks to us about this good fight that we're involved in. And it is a good fight. And it is a fight that we should be sort of energized by, I would hope. That we are fighting, that we are freedom fighters for God. "What shall we say then? Shall we abound in sin that grace may, or shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, We're freedom fighters. We're fighting for freedom. We are not involved in slavery. We are fighting for freedom. For he who died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive, alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We may touch back on that a little bit. But I think being involved in this good fight of faith is what he's talking about here in being alive to God. What we need to feel is being alive to God. We need to feel growth in the Spirit within ourselves. And we need to be contributing to this work, to this fight for freedom, in order to be alive to God. Be alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And what we're going to see here this morning is that in order for us to fight and be a freedom fighter, we have to call sin out. We have to identify it. We have to recognize it. We have to resist it. We have to be vigilant toward it. We have to call it out in our lives. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, that yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We are freedom fighters. We are fighting for freedom every day. Every, as we're going to see, every thought and every motive, as the song says, underneath his control, every thought we fight for. We strive for the good. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The peace that he's talking about here, as opposed to the shame, the freedom of peace with God, the freedom of union with God, as opposed to the shame. You know, and I hope to make the point as we go through here, I'm going to talk about it now, maybe you'll see it as we get further in, that the peace of God results from and happens within the progress or the process of learning obedience. Learning obedience. And any time we have to learn something, we have to fight for it, right? We have to fight for the knowledge. We have to choose to learn something. And so we are fighting here for that peace which comes through the process of learning obedience. We are freedom fighters. We are fighting for the principle of love, and we must dedicate ourselves daily to the resistance, to the resistance movement of Christianity. James, the fourth chapter, we turn and read. James chapter 4. I can get there myself here. James chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. Says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. After you have gone through this process, or as you go through this process, as you learn obedience, he says, then you can be settled. You can be established. You can be perfected and not be subject to having this world and the things of this world steal your joy or steal your peace or steal away our rightful place before our Father in heaven in his favor. Dedicate ourselves daily to this resistance. Well, as being involved as a freedom fighter, fighting the good fight, the good warfare, how is it that we should deploy our forces, deploy our resources? Where is the best place to attack the enemy? And how is the most efficient way that we can use the talents that God has given us and use the life that God has placed within us to fight for the principle of good and the principle of love and the principle of holiness and godliness? Well, you know, I think that probably the best place for us to think about that is, or the best way to think about it, is described for us in 1 Corinthians, again, the 10th chapter. But this time, let's go to verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So we are fighting sin in all its forms. Not just the acts of sin that we commonly call to mind, but we're fighting against despair, we're fighting against weakness, we're fighting against the weight of sin that so easily besets us in all the different ways that it comes upon us. We're fighting against grief, we're fighting against discouragement, all of those things, the myriad of sin, all of those things we're fighting against. And he says here that God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. So what this says to me is that the best place to fight the good fight is at the point of beginning. The point of beginning. At the temptation. That's where we have the best chance of victory. Because, as we all know, sin is, it gains momentum. starts slow, and then it heads down the hill, and it gets faster and faster and faster, and the further down the hill it goes, the harder it is to stop it. And that has to do with an act of sin or a feeling of failure before God, a feeling of shame, whatever it is. We need to resist at the point of beginning, at the temptation. The Bible speaks about temptation and how it is a desire. Desire is a wish. A wish is a thought. So if we can resist at the point of the thought, at the point of the wish, then we have the best possibility of success in our freedom fight. Sin is indeed a progressive experience. And I think in almost every, not every, but in many instances, we can see that our sin has a point of beginning. And some of us are involved in real estate, or have been involved in real estate, or if any of you have ever bought a house or bought a piece of land, you know that you get a deed and a title, and it's described, your land is described, and it has boundaries, and it always starts out at the point of beginning. That's where you start to describe your piece of land. There's a point of beginning. And that's what I like to use as a way of describing this aspect here of our warfare. We resist at the point of beginning. Temptation is like the yeast in the bread. In 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 8, he says, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Temptation is like the yeast, and it starts to have its effect. And if we can fight it at the point of beginning, then we are doing the best for ourselves and for God. James, the 1st chapter. We turn to James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, but nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." As I said earlier, a desire is a wish. A wish is a thought. And when that has conceived, when the yeast is planted, when the seed is planted, and if it's not dealt with, then it begins to grow. And when it is full grown, it brings forth death. When it's full grown, it brings forth consequences, right? When we act upon those wishes that are in opposition to God's wisdom, then we begin to have circumstances appear in our lives. Lasting consequences sometimes. And so that's something to think about. When he says it brings forth death, it brings forth changes. Sin brings forth consequences. And so, we need to resist at the point of beginning. You know, Job had a good thought, a good idea along these lines. If we turn back to the book of Job, the 31st chapter, this is one of my favorite, not favorite, but yeah, maybe my favorite, when you think about it. Job says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" Think about this for a moment. Big thought. I have made a covenant with my eyes. I have decided to fight at the point of origin, he says. And it's interesting for us to think about ourselves, whatever it is that we have, whatever is the weak link in our chain. And there is. always a weak link in every chain. And once we deal with that weak link, then there's another one. Isn't that how we learn obedience? That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we progress. What we're going to see is that, yes, sin is progressive. But you know what? So is righteousness. Righteousness is progressive as well. And praise be to God for that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when we are involved in this fight of faith, we become involved in a progressive thing as well, progressive process. So, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes, not to lust, he's saying, not to have a negative, selfish attitude towards a member of the opposite sex. A desire to gratify myself, he says, in a way that would quench the spirit, or in a way that would hurt another, or offend God, or violate my own conscience. If I am pursuing a situation of gratifying myself in any of these ways, he says, I don't want to do that. I want to make a covenant with myself. Remember this past scripture that we read last time we were talking about how that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we go to our Father in heaven in prayer, we enter the cathedral of His holiness just because we are His creation. And He said earlier in Romans the 6th chapter, He didn't want us to yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness, but as instruments of good in this fight of freedom that we are involved in. So, really, when I look at the apostle, or when I look at Job's thought, he says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. And then I read Proverbs 23 and 7. Let's turn to Proverbs 23 and 7. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 3. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 13 and 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. And then he says here, this is very interesting. Love thinks no evil. Love thinks no evil. So, also when we maybe turn and read, and we won't do it now, but we turn and read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 17, he talks about the Gentiles and the futility of their thinking. So what I read into this, what I gather, what I think I understand from reading about Job and the fact that he made a covenant with his eyes and so forth, and are resisting at the point of beginning, which is the point of thought, the point of the temptation, I think it's about exercising right thinking. Exercising right thinking. Fighting for good thoughts. We have a mind. God has given us our mind. And the thoughts that we think are the tools of our mind. And with our thoughts, as the poet says, we shape our lives and mold our circumstances. 1,000 joys or 1,000 ills. We think in secret. It comes to pass. So, indeed, I think we as children of God, recognizing the knowledge that He gives us in His Word, need to come to an understanding that we rise and we fall in His eyes with the tide of our own thoughts. The tide of our thoughts, the quality, the beauty or lack thereof of our thoughts. So that's why I think in Philippians, the fourth chapter, we read, and I'm sure you've all been thinking about this already, knowing that this scripture would be a part of our discussion this morning. Philippians 4th chapter, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I just am drawn to that scripture always, and it seems like it makes its way just about every lesson that I give, but I can't avoid it. Really, keep coming back to it. And so we're talking about, as I said earlier, we're talking about thoughts of all kinds, thoughts of despair, thoughts of fear, thoughts of weakness, thoughts of selfishness, thoughts of grief, thoughts of worry, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of self-pity, whatever that may mean for me or for you. All of those are part of this consideration. Thoughts of all kinds that we choose and encourage in our hearts and minds. That's what we're really talking about. And I come back to this idea of learning obedience. You know, we read about Jesus Christ, and we read about how that in Hebrews the 5th chapter and verse 8, I believe if I've got it written here correctly. It says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus learned obedience. Wow. I got to learn it too. He had to learn it. I've got to learn it. I've got to learn it. I've got to learn it. Since I've got to feel it, I've got to experience the suffering. I've got to make choices, and I've got to make some mistakes, and do some trial and error, and I've got to learn from that and gain wisdom. Have to learn it. Jesus Christ also said in Matthew the 10th chapter, if we go back to Matthew 10, Matthew 10 and verse 38, he says, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He's talking here about learning obedience. In Matthew the 16th chapter, he says, verse 24, Matthew 16 and 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, okay? So, first of all, there's that. If anyone desires. We already talked about the desire, right? We talked about the point of beginning. We're going to come back to that. There's a point of beginning with me and with you and with God. There's a desire that we can have and hold as a vision and an ideal for ourselves, an ideal we pursue as a purpose in life. We would follow after Him if anyone desires to come after me. In other words, a desire to learn obedience, to to actively participate in this creative power of change that is held forth for us through the death and suffering of Jesus Christ. If we have that holy aspiration, if we adopt it for ourselves, choose it for ourselves, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and so forth. It's all there. Our holy aspirations within ourselves and bearing our cross. Bearing our cross. And what does it mean to bear our cross? Well, I talked about earlier the fact that we have circumstances, right? Circumstances that come our way. Some of them we can't necessarily control, but oftentimes we can shape many of our circumstances. And oftentimes we have to deal with circumstances that are not favorable to us in every way, or have come about as a result of the trial and error that we have gone through in this learning process. And so we see our circumstances before us here, and it's our cross that we must bear. And the message is that we do not want to let our circumstances defeat us. And that is something that I know many people that I have talked to have difficulty with, because they cannot see themselves as worthy in God's sight. They have adopted the idea that their circumstances are so weighty, so overpowering, that God is not greater than their circumstances or whatever. But God is telling us here that, and the Apostle Paul says, we should not let our circumstances defeat us. We must participate with Christ in this process of learning obedience, which means crucifying the flesh, subduing the flesh. Crucifying means to subdue the flesh and participate going forward. We're going to read a couple of scriptures here, but before we read them, I just want us to, what we're going to read about is the Apostle Paul, and we're going to see that the Apostle Paul, you know, he was a righteous sinner. That's what we all are. We sinned. The goal is not to sin. The Apostle Paul said, I write these things to you that you may not sin. That is the goal. And someday we can get that way when we get to heaven with our Father in heaven. In the meantime, we are learning obedience while we're here. But just because we are a sinner doesn't mean we can't be righteous in God's sight. We can be a righteous sinner, as was the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy, we go back again and read in 1 Timothy, verses 12 and 13. 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13, he says, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This was a man who was damaged by his sin. His circumstances could have been overwhelming if he had chosen that. But he did not. He said, I'm a freedom fighter. I'm fighting. I am going to not let circumstances defeat me. I'm going to participate with Christ in this process. And I am going to continue the fight. Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3 again, back in the book of Philippians. Philippians 3 and 7, he says, What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Nothing I can do to earn it. It's not my own. It comes from God and his love. but it is righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The learning of obedience. He said, I want to learn obedience as Christ learned obedience, for the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, speaking here of his circumstances, speaking here of the consequences. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, he says, therefore, as many as of us as are mature have this mind. It's all about your heart and the choice of what you want to do with your mind and your heart and the thoughts that you encourage and allow. Therefore, let us have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk. To the degree that we've already learned, let's be true to what we've learned. That's it. Be true to what we've learned. Don't violate our consciences. Don't go backwards. Be true to what we've learned. All sin that is, or all things that are not of faith are sin, he says in the Bible. And that's what that means. If we've learned it, let's build on it. Participate with the Apostle Paul. When we leave this body, we will cast off our sin. We will sin no more. But while we are in this body, we can be alive to God, as we read about in Romans, the 6th chapter. So I started out by reading the scripture that all scripture is given for exhortation and encouragement, and it's my hope this morning that we can be encouraged to continue the fight. All of us, no matter what we've already attained, he says, to the degree that we've already attained, we're all at different places. But he says, doesn't matter, we still have to fight. Let him who thinks he stands be careful. So we're encouraged this morning to fight the good fight of faith, to realize that sin is progressive, but holiness is more progressive. Holiness is progressive as well. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore, and let's see, did I get this right? I might have just made a mistake here, but so let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 12. It says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's given us the opportunity to be aware and recognize our thoughts and to manage them and to make choices that are good and that yield results in the good fight. He says he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our sins. Sin is progressive, but righteousness is progressive. Today can be a point of beginning for you and for me. A relationship with our Father in Heaven that leads us into these realms of peace must begin with a choice. A point of beginning for you, wherever you are, whatever you've already attained. So, the question about the weight of sin, how heavy is it upon us, upon you this morning? Is there a weight of sin upon you, a weight of worry, a weight of fear, a weight of sadness, a weight of regret, a weight of not knowing what to do because of maybe some consequence or circumstance? There's a point of beginning, and Jesus is on the cross and went to the cross to provide that point of beginning for everyone. And so we need to get in that fight today. We need to make the choice. God will make up what we lack. Doesn't matter who we are. We keep listening to a song this morning on the way to church. On a station says, when you don't know what to do, keep breathing. Came right out of the blue on the way to church. Hey, you know, Jesus Christ is there for us. He has provided us the opportunity to learn obedience. Let's get in the fight with Him and make our lives glorifying to our Father in Heaven. So if we can help you in any way, if there's a point of beginning that you would like to